Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's pod, we're going to be talking about open talent. For this discussion, I'm delighted to welcome Jennifer Wolford, founder and director at Neon Leaders, Jessica Spence, president brands at Beam Suntory, and David Alberts, co-founder of Been There, Done That. Welcome to everybody.
Hi, Michael.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
They can't see you, remember? Voices. Hello. Yes. Okay, cool. First up, I just want to get everybody to explain current roles, quick potted histories of your careers to date. Let's start with you, Jessica. Who are you and what do you do?
So I have the title of President Brands at Beam Suntory. So I head up all of the biggest brands globally that we have at Beam, which is a role I've been in for about just over a year and a half. And alongside that, I also take on a lot of the traditional CMO responsibilities. So it's sort of two pieces. One is more of a traditional P&L ownership, and the other is sort of CMO, so looking after digital, thinking about our agency models, creativity, all of those things. My background started in advertising, started agency side, moved client side because it just looked a lot more fun, and have spent most of the last, scarily now, 16 years in different types of alcohol. So first in beer with SAB Miller, then with Carlsberg, and now much more whiskey and spirits focused with Beam Suntory.
Good stuff. And you're in New York at the moment, are you?
Yes, I'm based in New York.
Okay, cool. I'm just going to emphasize the global nature of this particular chat. Okay, let's go. David, can you tell us what's Been There, Done That all about, and what's your career history?
Yeah, sure. I'm in London, in the sunny London. I'm co-founder of Been There, Done That. And at Been There, Done That, we harness the world's best thinkers to help solve some of the world's biggest problems. And we're powered by a community of 250 of the world's very best chief strategy officers, chief creative officers, and chief experience officers. All people who, as the name says, have been there, done that, and done their 20 years experience or experiences. And we help clients define problems and then identify people within our community to help solve those. And previously I was in advertising as well, and I ran creative agencies around the world, BBDO in Asia Pacific, Grey in London, as well as starting in Australia. So really excited to chat today.
Cool. And finally, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm in Hong Kong to help you emphasize the global nature of the call today, Michael. And I have founded a business called Neon Leaders. And Neon Leaders is a collective of senior marketing leaders, all with in-house expertise, who are now working independently. And we bring different teams together to help brands and businesses where they need support in terms of strategic agility, or where they need additional strategic capacity or access to capabilities that they don't have in-house. And by putting teams of experienced in-house marketers together, we help move things forward at pace and with diversity of thinking. And prior to Neon Leaders, I worked client side for Mars Wrigley for a number of years. So I took the opposite path in some ways to Jessica, although I don't think of Neon Leaders as an agency. It's very much for me a new opportunity around how, as more and more people are choosing to work independently during a stage of their career paths, organizations can tap into that talent in a different way to the types of talent models that they've had the opportunity to use before.
I imagine you've been pretty busy the past year or so, but we'll get to that. So actually, I guess as a lovely little segue, can you explain what we're talking about? What is open talent?
Yeah, so open talent in a nutshell is about complementing permanent resources with agile talent on demand. But it's very much around taking a strategic approach to doing that. So people will be very familiar with the idea of contractors where they've had a vacancy and they've needed to bring in someone on a short-term basis and a time-bound basis to help plug that vacancy. Open Talent's moving into a world where we build individuals and teams around skills which are needed within an organization. Or as David will probably go on to say, problems that need to be solved. And it's really thinking around building on what you already have in-house. What are the specific skills or experiences that you need to help move your agendas forward or to come in and help you solve problems? And tapping into what is a growing pool of senior experienced, highly skilled individuals and teams of those individuals who can help step in to solve those problems. And I think the reason it's, you know, we're calling it Open Talent and we're this idea of kind of building this new talent category is driven by the needs of both brands and businesses to have greater diversity, greater agility, and of talent who want to work in a different way and at times on their career path work independently as well.
So, I mean, is it kind of like having a bit more of a flexible workforce in a sense? I mean, is it a case of more experienced? I mean, I'm going to say freelancers. So you probably correct me or come up with different terms, perhaps. But is it a case of having more experienced people coming in to support, say, more, I don't know, permanent members of staff in you know, permanent staff that are perhaps a bit more junior?
I think the opportunity of Open Talent is the ability to build a team around a problem rather than simply handing a problem to a pre-existing team. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in my days at creative agency, yeah, TV, the answer was television, whatever the question. And in a content company, the answer was content, whatever the question. What an Open Talent platform allows you to do is focus on what the problem is you're trying to solve with a client. And once you identify that problem, then to build specialists around that problem that can help get to the desired output.
Mm.
I think the difference between freelancers and Open Talent is that freelancers can just come in to be part of that team, whereas Open Talent really gives you the flexibility to build a team around the specific problem.
Well, I was going to say, how does that work exactly? I mean, are they sort of considered staff or how? I'm basically going to ask lots of really stupid questions, so you're going to have to bear with me as the man on the street, essentially.
Yeah. So I think both with Jen and myself, Neon Leaders, and being there, done that, we have a community of people who have experience, people who've been there, done that. And what's very interesting, the way that even in the 6 years we've been running, being there, done that, is the shift as senior people are looking for more interesting ways to work, selecting the projects that they're specially capable of, you are able to identify specialists rather than generalists.
Mm.
I think that as the diversification of media and the fragmentation, there are different needs for different problems. Whereas in freelance or an old way of working model, you were very much focused on what your output was as the desired. So the ability to build a team around a problem gives you the ability to provide thinking without agenda.
Mm.
I think that's what's interesting. Jess, you probably have points of view on that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jessica, what's your take at Beam Suntory? How have you guys been working and has that changed in the last year or so?
Yeah, I mean, we started really experimenting with this model when I was at Carlsberg. And I think, you know, the way Dave puts it is perfect, because I think any team you have, however good, they come with a specific set of experience, a specific background, specific skills. And as you say, that shapes your thinking, both internally and externally. So it's not just on the agency side, also on the client side. And we started working with Open Talent really as a way to get to more disruptive thinking. We knew that we had a great team, but they had been working on the same problem, the same brand for years together. And we were at one of those points where we knew we needed something radically different. And however good our team were, you just needed to inject something different into that mix. And so that was where we started from. And it was phenomenally successful. It really did get us to something that I think we all said at the end of it, we would never have got here without that different perspective coming in. So that was the starting point for me. And as I've moved forward and also moved company, we've seen that the ability to build out, not just around a specific problem, but also even around a stage of a problem. You know, we use different people to get to the problem definition stage than we do maybe to the next piece. And that ability to really pick and choose profiles and people who are passionate about that individual part of it, who, you know, we all know we don't all love the job from A to Z. But actually, if you can just get people who are focused in on the one bit that they're really interested in, you can get some phenomenal thinking. And then you thread that together to get to the full delivery. But it's really allowing everyone to shine and everyone to do the piece that most interests them. So you're not kind of going through those bits and you're like, oh yeah, we've got to do this piece now. You're really getting the best of everyone at every single stage of the process. And that's been fantastic for us.
I suppose it's a question for everyone or whoever wants to take it, but has sort of the rise of this way of working become, you know, more prevalent in the last year or so with COVID? I mean, there's this accelerated trends like other trends and the pandemic's just accelerated something that was already happening. What's been everybody's experiences there? Who wants to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, I can share from my perspective, and I'm sure Jessica's got a point of view from a client perspective. So again, kind of there's two sides to this. So there's the talent side, and then there's the what we see in terms of our clients needing. So from the talent side, there is undoubtedly an increasing number of people who are wanting to work in a different way and who are questioning where they're at on their career path, where it is they want to go next, looking for different ways to both work and to build experiences. And therefore, we've seen a lot of talent approaching us who are saying, you know, I don't want to be in this the corporate role I was doing at the moment, or I've been made redundant from a corporate role. I don't want to jump straight back into another corporate role. I want to explore different things and aspects of my life and work in different ways. And I think what's really important about an open talent way of working is it's not about just applying the skills and the experiences that you've built over time, but it's also about how you can continue to stretch and develop yourself in how you work, and you get teamed up with other people and you can learn from other people as well. So people see it very much as a development opportunity. They see it as a way to move forward and work out where they're going next on their career path. And then from a client side, what we've seen is people facing a lot more challenges, people needing to think differently. And therefore, you know, as Jessica said, that kind of opening themselves up to an agile talent group who can come in and help them think differently about the problems that they're facing. But most importantly, to do that in a really lean way. So there are organizations which have had to take a lot of costs out of their talent base, and they're looking, but the work still needs to get done. And in many ways, more challenging work needs to get done with greater diversity of thinking. So they're looking for what are the lean and mean and the clever ways in which they can access and get that help without it needing to be, you know, full-time employees that are going to be there for the duration and they're having to make that kind of financial commitment to.
Mm. I suppose leading on from that, I wanted to talk about kind of how this sort of talent comes into businesses. So like, you know, are there any issues around how, you know, sort of how you gel and fit with existing teams? I mean, how do you make that process go as smoothly as possible? Because I guess every company is different in terms of their culture and ways of working and things. Jessica, I see you nodding.
Yeah, and I think that's a critical part of it, because I think one of the things we've learned is this only works if everyone kind of has the same rules of the game. If there's a feeling that this is in any way, you know, particularly when we've worked, you know, with people like been there, done that, if there's a feeling from the existing teams, whether that's client side or agency, that this is like, you're not doing well enough, you know, you haven't cracked it, we've got to go to somebody else for it, that can be extremely difficult. And I think what you have to do is you have to set very clear ground rules up front to say, this isn't that there's anything wrong with this team. This isn't that, you know, we're thinking of a change. This isn't a pitch by stealth or anything like that. This is simply, we think that the best teams in the world sometimes need some diversity of thinking, sometimes need a fresh perspective. And this is an incredibly smart way of bringing that. But being clear up front on how this is going to work is incredibly helpful, because if you don't, there's a lot of mistrust, there's a lot of treading on toes, all the usual things. But I think the other thing, and this is something that I guess is very different between the Neon Leaders model and the Been There, Done That, is the Been There, Done That community. We don't know who any of them are. We don't meet them. We don't have names on them. It's an anonymous community, which it's actually hugely helpful, because it frees up, I think, the world from a lot of ego. And my personal perspective is the creative world is dominated by a huge amount of ego, some of which can be useful, but a lot of which is actually just a waste of time. And removing that element makes it a lot harder for people to get territorial. You know, you can't get territorial when you don't even know who you're kind of dealing with. So I think that's a hugely helpful mechanic that Been There, Done That have. Obviously, it wouldn't work for Neon Leaders. That I can't imagine how Jennifer made that work. But in that context, it does really help, because it makes it clear that this isn't replacing a long-term relationship. It's supplementing. And I think that works brilliantly. But you've got to be clear up front and kind of set the ground rules very transparently.
Sounds a bit like filmmaking or something, doesn't it? Where you bring in different talent for different things and just say, we decided to go in a different creative direction here. You know, it's nothing, not reflection on anyone's work necessarily. David, what are your thoughts there?
I think building what Jess is saying, you know, as a platform, as a collective, the most important thing is to remove subjectivity and replace it by objectivity. And therefore, problem definition is the fundamental step one of any, I think, any open talent process. And that problem definition is done, in our case, a three-hour problem definition session with the CSO, but with all the stakeholders from within the client, from sales, from R&D, but also from some of their agency partners. And the actual exercise of defining a problem and getting everyone on the same page, and also identifying what's the desired output that comes from the project, is so important in those ground rules that are set up. I think the other thing is, and in our case, we consciously decoupled thinking from execution. Because what the model does very well is, and you know, just spoke about Carlsberg, we called it creative acupuncture. We had an injection of thinking into a problem that helped open up the minds of the collective team. And I think, again, with open talent and the way of accessing these specialists is not necessarily to come up with the answer. Like in agency days, give me the brief, I'll come back with 9 weeks with that one answer that's the only answer. This is much more collaborative in the sense of you get all of the stakeholders in a room to find the problem. You then identify the specialists who each come up anonymously with three different ways of working. And then you go back to that group with 9 ideas or 9 ways you could solve the problem. But the aim of the exercise is to help that client team or the project team make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's really interesting and why it works so well with in-house agencies or with external agencies or craft agencies, as Jess calls them, is that there's no not invented here, because you're not replacing them, you're enabling them to actually generate broader thinking.
Mm. Yeah, I like the idea of not being obsessed with like, this is the right answer. There's only one right answer to this thing. And again, that comes back to a bit like filmmaking, really, where they say like sometimes the process of making the film goes all the way up to the point at which you release it. You're kind of still tinkering with it and working on it. And, you know, you bring in 5 different directors, they're going to have 5 different visions. So it's a collaborative ongoing process, which I think is much more interesting way of working than just saying this is the right answer to a thing.
And I think that's something you really get through this process, because with the best will in the world, an existing team who've worked together for a long time in the same corporate environment do get to a kind of a sense of this is a good answer. This is what it would look like. There is a bit of groupthink that necessarily sets in. And that the freedom to say, actually, let's bring that diversity. Let's bring in people who have none of the preconceptions. We have none of the past experience of, you know, however hard you try in the back of your mind, oh, we did that once and nobody liked it. Or we did that once, didn't quite work out. You know, you free yourself up to look at solutions that I don't think you would ever get to, because everyone with a, you know, everyone's got a batch of experience that they've built up that tells them maybe, oh, well, don't go over there, or don't go over there, or this is the kind of answer I can sell to this organization.
Yeah.
And just getting people in, I can imagine that's very powerful with neon leaders as well, who don't have any of that baggage and you just come at it fresh and say, well, why don't you do this? Is really liberating. And I think that's where actually the teams inside get huge value from it, because we all know, I mean, some of the stuff that we've looked at, we're like, oh, we would never have got there, because we would have had a whole load of very, very good reasons why that wasn't the answer. But having it be put in front of you quite starkly, you suddenly go, huh, actually, yes, I am carrying around a load of baggage. I am framing the world in a very specific way. Maybe I need to let go of that a little bit. And that's really powerful.
Do you ever have it as well, where it's like internal teams and they're thinking, this is the answer that my boss is going to sign off on, and I know that they're not going to sign off on this crazy idea because I've tried it in the past?
All the time. I think that's one of the toughest things in companies. And I think when you look at companies who do creativity brilliantly, they manage to create a culture where that doesn't happen. But it is there everywhere to an extent. I mean, and it's one of, I think, the biggest challenges for CMOs. It's how do you keep your talent fresh? How do you stop them? You know, the words that strike absolute fear in my heart is Jessica says, because I can guarantee that A, I probably never said it, and B, if I did, I was having an off day and it was an idiotic thing to say and I shouldn't have done. But, you know, teams get framed so much by wanting to make sure that they're doing stuff that's going to get through, they're doing stuff that's going to get them results internally sometimes, that they forget that, you know, they need to just release their thinking from that space. And I think that's where, you know, brilliant companies do that. They free their people up. But even there, you sometimes need an injection of thinking from the outside. As, you know, Dave said, the acupuncture, to just go in and go, just really address something in a way that releases a ton of creativity.
Is it easier in bigger teams? Sorry, I was going to say, is it easier in like bigger companies where you can rotate people around different teams? Or David's shaking his head. What are your thoughts?
Look, I actually think, and Jessica is undervaluing her contribution in the companies in the sense that what the role for me of a leader in an organization is to create a culture of learn-it-alls, not know-it-alls. And therefore, if you can create that culture where the people receiving or participating in a project are open to different ways of thinking, therefore everyone is, the project becomes the actual thing. And I don't think it's a case of a big organization or a little organization, but I think where the injection, and this is where I think what Jen does with Neon Leaders, is having very experienced marketeers going into an organization without ego, who have, they've gone through the journey, is what creates the ideal conditions for this type of work to be done.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, I think the worst thing a leader can do, and we've all, you know, probably worked in organizations where it's happened to us, is, you know, they kind of outsource work to a consultancy group. And, you know, if you're lucky, you maybe get called up for a stakeholder interview, but that's pretty much the extent of your input. And then, you know, the consultants come in and they present to the management team, and the management team sort of sign it off, and then you get landed with this, you know, presentation as, this is what the consultants say we should do. And there's complete disengagement and disconnection from the people in the organization that need to carry that work forward and deliver it and execute it. And like I say, I can remember, you know, several times in the early stages of my career where I saw that happen. And I think the difference with Open Talent, and yeah, our model isn't anonymous because we're doing more of the in-house work, if you like, but we always say it's not our work, it's their work. So we go in and we work with teams, and the best role that the leader of that team can play is to position us with their teams as to say, you know, exactly as Jessica's outlined, these people are coming in to bring some different thinking. This is where we need help. The number of times people say to me, you know, our problem is we can't see the wood for the trees. We're all just too close to it. But this, we will work together with teams to help get to different ways of thinking and different approaches. But in a way that when we walk out the door, the work carries on because that team feels absolute ownership of that work. And therefore, that definition right back at the beginning of complementing your in-house teams with agile talent is really important because it's how you knit the two together, whether it's through an anonymous injection of thinking or whether it's through bringing teams in who can integrate and work collectively with the team in-house. But it's helping to do it in that way and complementing those two things together rather than, you know, the traditional, let's outsource this problem to someone who can work it out for us.
Yeah, I guess if things are in bubbles, it sounds like you've actually weirdly touched on. So we have a professional development program called the Marketing Leaders Program. And its mantra is, it came from a leadership consultant called Steve Radcliffe, where the mantra of it was future, engage, deliver. So for any kind of leader, you explain the future of your thing, your vision, then you engage people in it so that they're with you. And then they deliver, and you can't skip any of those processes because if they're not engaged, they can't deliver. If they don't know what the vision is, they can't engage in it. And anyway, it's such a simple sort of thing, but the amount of times I sort of hear it said in different ways, it's like, yeah, actually still holds true.
Yeah. And I think it's so important that, I mean, that's why we called the business Neon Leaders, because it was around, you know, people who've done those roles in house and who know how to engage teams. Because if you don't do the engage stage of it, you're never going to get to the deliver. Mm. You can write as good a strategy as any in the world, but if people who are going to carry that through to execution aren't bought into it, aren't engaged in it, don't feel ownership of it, you're not going to get anywhere. I used to work for a great guy who used to say, we need to get it off the computer and into the organization. And that's what, you know, we always think about in what we're doing.
Yeah, sounds good. I realize, actually, just glancing at the time, we are running out of time rapidly. So I want to sort of round up by kind of asking you all sort of what excites you about the year ahead or the next sort of 12 months or so in terms of how Open Talent can kind of help businesses grow and evolve in ways that they couldn't before. Who would like to chip in?
I can jump in on that. I think one of the things, I mean, the last year and a half has been challenging, but I think also really humbling in a way, in terms of just realizing how much is beyond our control and how much we have to be adaptive and agile. And I think that's been a really, really useful lesson. I think it's probably a bit overdue, but and it's a shame it took a pandemic, but I think it's been phenomenally helpful in terms of just reframing how our jobs are going to work. And as I look forward, I think that flexibility and agility and unpredictability is going to continue, and therefore the need to make sure that you're bringing diverse thinking in and that you're not getting stuck in one worldview or framing things up in too narrow a way, I think is going to become more and more important for companies. And I think also Jen spoke about this, the last year and a half has caused a phenomenal number of exceptional talents to think differently about what they're looking for. And if we don't embrace a model like Open Talent, I think we will have a massive drain of talent from our businesses, because people simply have experienced the last year and a half and said, the world is a lot less predictable. I want a lot more diversity in my experience, in my life. And I'm going to go and find that. And I've got the confidence now I can do that. So I think both in terms of responding to the outside world and recognizing that it is ever changing and incredible speed and it needs disruption. And also recognizing that you've got to hunt where the talent is. You know, your job is always to get the best brains on your business, and that those brains are choosing a different path, I think, is a real wake up call. So what I'm excited about is actually, you know, I think having much more of a burning platform for this type of work to accelerate and become more part of the day-to-day way that more and more companies do business.
Mm. Yeah, sounds good. Anyone else?
I love that.
Final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to more people thinking the way Jessica thinks. But in all seriousness, I think, so we're kind of talking about Open Talent as almost a new category. You know, if you think about it through the lens of how a marketeer thinks, we try and build and develop and grow categories and brands within those categories. And what I see that our role as, you know, along with Been There, Done That, and they were in the open talent space before we're only just over a year old, but, you know, we are collectively, as I guess early businesses within this space, trying to grow a category of open talent. And the opportunity that gives us to go out and talk to businesses and CMOs and do industry things like this, and then the number of phenomenal talent to build on what Jessica just said that I get to talk to on a regular basis, and how we bring all of that together to help build a new way of working for people that is a win-win-win commercially. It's a win for brands because of the diversity of thinking that they get to access, and then it's a win for the talent as well, is really exciting. It's usually the old cliche, gets me out of bed in the morning.
No, it's good. I think it does feel like, like a time that's, the pandemic, unfortunate that it's a pandemic that's done it, but it's sort of shaken up a lot of things and made people question their lives and their careers and what they're doing, and, you know, suddenly going, maybe time is short, etc. So, I think if it shakes things up and encourages more diversity of thought, that's only going to be a good thing.
Yeah, look, I think, Michael, it's a really interesting thing. And I think what the last year and a half has done is it's given permission for companies to start thinking about what's the right way to do things rather than the way we've done things. And I think it's allowed people, as new problems have been, you know, exposed, and come up every day, it's forced people to think about the right way. And I think that's why the acceleration has happened, be it in how do I want my work to have an impact on, you know, what work I do, but also as companies start to look at the capability when they're within their own organization, the value of critical thinking and accessing how do I get the best people to work on my project. That's what's exciting. And I think the pandemic has normalized this way of working. I can see it accelerating, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a great place on which to end. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for coming on the Marketing Society podcast.
Thank you so much.